sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Want you to make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world. Like I'm the only one that you'll ever love. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Welcome, everybody, to another show of Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And I'm Lori Handlers, your host, and I am very interested in you increasing your sex and happiness, and they're both very tied together. When I say talk about sex and happiness, I really am talking about your sexual energy more than I'm talking about your having sex, although we do talk about that on the show, too. To me, I want you to know that your sexual energy can burst through any place that you're blocked and allow you to have really great happiness in your life, and that's what I want. And then, of course, if you're having more and better sex, that's just an added bonus. I love that. Well, today I want to talk about couples who inspire other couples. And this is a different kind of a topic because I don't know how much you ever give any thought to this, but mostly people find their other, their significant other, what they call their better half, their love of their life, their soulmate, they call it all these things. They find this other person, and then the whole society is set up to have them isolate from others. And so couples get married, and then they get a house, and they have their kids, and they get their cars, and their dog, and their picket fence, and then they really separate out. The only time they see other people is perhaps if they participate at a church on Sundays. They go to work, they raise their kids, and basically they don't know their neighbors, and they don't know the people who live behind them, and they don't really participate in community. And if they're having troubles, usually the first time that people in the neighborhood know is when they're moving out and getting separated or divorced. So that's a little bit of my opinion about coupledom. And today I have a couple. I have Carol Herndon and Paul Bennett, who I know personally, and their story is amazing. They fell in love in their mid-50s, and they began inventing a life together as a sensuous and sacred adventure. What a concept! So they play with the metaphor of their life as a treasure hunt, and they have become masterful at finding treasure everywhere in their marriage, everywhere in their sexuality, and in their communities and in the world. So right away, you know these people are different from most people because they mention communities. They're the creators of Treasure Hunt for Couples, and they also serve as the chair of Couples Coaching Couples, a couples organization with groups all over the country. So welcome to the show, Carol and Paul.
Thank you. Delighted to be here.
Thank you, Lori.
You're welcome. It's great to have you. And it's inspiring to just even introduce you and have people know that you're not the kind of couple that isolates. Now, maybe if you met before your 50s, like maybe you did that in your previous configurations. I don't know. I'd like to ask you a little bit about that. You know, perhaps you did the regular American dream thing that seems to be so ineffective in keeping people in love and keeping their relationships fresh. And so you learned something. I'm just assuming that you learned something from that. And then when you met each other, you decided to really create something differently. Did either one of you want to address that?
I'd say that's accurate. It's accurate. We had no skills. Both of us married quite young in our 20s to other people. And we had no social support for creating a relationship. We thought it was just the, okay, now that's handled, and let's get on with life. And that, of course, did not turn out to be the case.
As it doesn't for most people, so over 50%. Somewhere it's climbing to 60%, I've heard, in terms of Americans, of first-time marriages fail. And I also have heard that 80% of second-time marriages fail. I don't have the latest, greatest statistics, but it's a known fact that marriages don't work very well.
So when I first met Carol, I gently inquired her about her status, and she told me, well, I've had two successful marriages, and I'm not presently married. And I thought that was a wonderful way of presenting her life up to her mid-50s. I had had one marriage that I would, I guess, consider not a successful marriage, and I had had one absolutely beautiful 20-year marriage that ended with my wife's death. So I had had one fabulous marriage and was not presently married. So we have a little different idea about what a successful marriage might look like, and that does include some marriages that have ended.
Yeah, because Carol just said, you know, she didn't have any skills, but she described herself as having had two successful marriages.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess you're inspiring me to get creative here. So so I'm going to say that you had successful marriages and then they were over. Carol, in your case, you know,
yeah.
Like they lasted for the years they lasted. And then you moved on because you grew or you were interested in something else, not necessarily somebody else, but something else in your life. Like your relationships were complete. Am I correct in this?
You're maybe in retrospect, one could say that.
Yeah.
At the time of the relationships, the marriages ending, it felt, you know, there was pain and upset, and it wasn't what, you know, the design from the beginning was not to get divorced after 12 years.
Right.
But in retrospect, looking back, I can cherish the gifts that both of my husbands have been in my life, including fathering my three wonderful children and supporting my personal growth. I totally learned and grew tons in those marriages, and we just didn't have what it took. We didn't know what we needed to do and didn't have anywhere to turn for support to get through the hard part that brought about the completion of the marriage.
Yeah. So most people, as I said in my beginning, are isolated. They have a dream. They see Hollywood movies and they listen to rock and roll songs, and they have this idea about getting the one. And then it takes something to sustain people feeling that each other are the one. And most people have no skills or capacity in that mm-hmm. department. And so you find yourselves having to invent, which has turned out to be a really good thing for both of you.
Yeah. And really the gift of finding Paul and our coming together is that we share this passion to keep exploring and growing and just inventing day to day. And it isn't like we wake up every morning the way we did at the beginning was, oh my God, it's Christmas. Though it's not quite Christmas every morning anymore, 9 years later, but it's still a gift and a delight to wake up and to have a day to create with Paul and a partner who's already yes to anything that I say, hey, this I think would be great for our couple to explore. And a partner who comes to me and says, oh, here's this erotic partnership celebrating the sacred and sexuality. Let's go to that. And I say, yes. So we are a yes to each other.
That's so great. Right there is like a big hurdle that you've already crossed and overcome. Most people resist each other. I don't know why. It's just built into the ego of the male and the female organism. Like, oh, the person I'm the closest to, I sleep with them every night. Let's see, they're going to give me a suggestion. I'm going to say no. It's amazing, people's egos. It's amazing, and they don't really know. They're like that, and then they hunker down. So if you're inventing your life, as you say, as a sensuous and sacred adventure, how did you stumble upon this idea? Was this something you built into your marriage vows?
Well, yes, it is. It is indeed in our marriage vows and our vision of our life together. You know, having had two marriages each before we found each other, it's pretty much in your face that this is not that there's not really a default. And if there is a default, you probably don't want that.
But then the other thing was that given our stage in life, we were past the time where we had to make it in the world and all the distractions of children and all that was less. And so really the only reason to bother to come together with all the inconveniences that arise in sharing your space and complications, the only reason to bother was to enhance the quality of our lives, that we could have a better life together than separately.
That is so great. Where did you meet?
At a big luncheon, 1,500 people at a fundraising luncheon. We happened to sit at the same table of 10 people. Yeah. So pretty random.
Yeah, and Carol happened to remember that we had met before. We had met in the spring and summer of 1965, 38 years earlier, and hadn't laid eyes on each other since.
And, wow.
And this was enough to call me to attention at a time when I was deeply grieving for my late wife, who had died just about 5 months before. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it really was like life saying, hey, pay attention to this. This is important.
Well, Carol, good for you. Good for your memory and good for saying. You know, some people would remember and they wouldn't say.
Well, it was just kind of a vague thing. Gee, you really look familiar. I'm sure we've met before.
Yeah. Well, good for you. How sweet. So, okay, so you met at this luncheon, and then I'm assuming that you dated some, and then you started getting interested, but you decided to have this sensuous and sacred adventure. So you had a conversation about it, and then what did you do first?
I'm thinking that the adventure sort of happened, that we found ourselves full-blown in the adventure, and that what happened was the reflection that this adventure is too wonderful to let it stop.
So you better do something.
Yeah. And Carol had been to this wonderful retreat center in the Catskills, the Shalom Mountain Retreat Center. She had been there with a previous lover, and she had been up there just before we first spent an evening together. She told me, in fact, in our first phone conversation, that she had been to this wonderful retreat and had unleashed her sexuality.
Great.
My reaction to that was not that it was a come on or anything I had to do anything about, but I was tremendously impressed by the authenticity and her feeling that she could just say who she was and what she was up to without worrying what this pretty much a stranger would think about that. And we have noticed over the last, 9 years, that when we are in communities where we can be fully authentic,
fully ourselves,
just bring our whole selves, our relationship, our marriage blossoms.
Yeah.
And that includes some wonderful retreats. We were just up at Shalom Mountain, as it happens, last weekend, for a beautiful retreat centered around sexual energy and erotic partnership. And to be in an environment like that, a community, even a temporary community, where you can be completely authentic about everything that's going on between you, is just a precious gift.
Well, and yeah. Laurie, like what you create in the world is the freedom to own that we are sexual beings. So much in our world, in our culture, we are sort of walking around pretending we are sexless.
Yeah.
And we find that the opportunity to own that, to be in communities where people are honest about that, is freeing, and it's an opportunity for growth and exploration that we just love.
Yeah,
it's wonderful. We need to take a little break here for a moment, but when we come back, I want to ask you about these communities. Like, you've mentioned the Shalom Mountain one, but I want to talk about the things that you're creating. I want to talk about the treasure hunt for couples, and I want to also know about these couples, coaching couples. I happen to know some people that I think you know that have been doing this, couples coaching couples, and I didn't know that you were the chair of that, and I want to know more about that. I guess I haven't been in a couple for such a long time that I don't know anything about this. So, but I have all these new visions of my configurations. And so, you know, maybe we'll have a chance to talk about that too. So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handler as your host. And I want to remind you all, first of all, that this part of the show is brought to us by Zestra. And also, I want to remind my listeners to go to my website, butterflyworkshops.com, and sign up for my newsletter. I have a lot of changes happening in my life, and I have a lot of travel planned. And I want to make sure that you receive updates from me and so I can tell you where I'll be and how you can meet me. And I also want you to be the first to know about some of the new and exciting adventures and projects that I'm having and I'm creating. So I invite you to please take action now. Go to butterflyworkshops.com and sign up for my newsletter by clicking in the upper right-hand column of my website. We'll be right back, and when we come back, I'm talking with Carol Herndon and Paul Bennett, and we're talking to them about how important it is to have skills to keep your life together as a couple, sensuous and sacred, and how you have to invent it, how you really have to put energy into the invention and creation of this.
My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra Safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handler's on the Sex and Happiness Show. We'll be right back.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Laurie Handler right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Laurie Handler, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
Well, we're back with Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handler, and I've already told you that this part of the show is brought to you by Zestra, a female enhancement product, and I'm thrilled to have Zestra on board as my sponsor. And today my guests are a couple that I know, Carol Herndon and Paul Bennett. And I love their story. They fell in love in their mid-50s after two marriages each. And they began inventing life together, and they continue to invent life together, and they also inspire other couples to invent or create their life. So the first thing that I know about of what you two have created is called Treasure Hunt for Couples. And can you tell us a little bit about that? I mean, what is it, and how would people listening to the show, what would they get from it? What would be the benefit, and how can they get in touch with you about it?
Early on, we were looking around and said, well, what's out there? Who can teach us how to do this? And we found a lot of things that were about fixing your relationship or divorce-proofing your marriage and ways to work on your marriage. And it just seemed to us that working on your marriage wasn't the thing. The thing was how to play in your marriage. And then it happened that we ran into this kind of wild and crazy man named Barack Rosenblum, who had been leading these treasure hunts for individuals. And we heard about it, and we said, wow, that sounds like it. Just the thing we're looking. How does that work for couples?
Wait a second. I just have to stop you for a second. There's another person in the world named Barack. I mean,
and he hated his name until in the last 5 years when all of a sudden it became a really cool name.
I just had to say that. Okay. So go on, Paul. I just.
So we took the work that he'd been doing and we reinvented it for couples. And basically it starts with saying, my life's a treasure hunt. Our life is a treasure hunt. Mm-hmm. And then you do what you would do on a treasure hunt. Well, what's the first thing you do on a treasure hunt is you'd start
for treasure.
Look for treasure. And you look for treasure everywhere. And you develop your skill about, instead of looking for problems, instead of looking for what's wrong, you look for the treasure everywhere. People get so good at this. Our favorite result is a friend who did our treasure hunt for couples, and she at one point said, I don't have to look for treasure anymore. All I have to do is bend over and scoop it up. That's the change that we find in people. And then we play. We look at what you want your life to be. We do treasure maps. Where are you going to go to look for treasure? Where might you go that wouldn't find your treasure?
And what are the paths that you might start down that lead you into the murky swamp? And once you got in the murky swamp, how would you get out of it? You talk about looking for when the path starts getting squishy. Yeah.
And the other thing we do is we unleash your ability to want things. You know, we find that most people have really shut down their ability to want. And they limit it to what they think they can get. They're free to, if they think they can get something, they'll want it. If they think they should get it. Should get it.
It'd be okay to get it.
Yeah. But it wouldn't be too much.
Yeah.
But what we find is that you've really only got one capacity to want. And if you shut down your capacity to really, really want a big hot fudge sundae, you've also shut down your capacity to want peace all over the world.
Mm.
And when people start opening up their capacity to want things and their capacity to find treasure right now, right here in their life, things start to look very different.
I love the way you frame this. I just want you to know, you know, I remember the old phrase that Werner Erhard used to say, choose what you got. And that's like one thing. That's kind of like, well, you found yourself in an adventure and then you kind of chose it. But on the other hand, the creation of really desiring, having desire alive and well inside yourselves, in your bodies and in your minds, and then calling that a treasure hunt, wanting, being clear about what you want. I love that. It's like a whole framing of intention setting that's juicy.
Mm-hmm. There's another little aspect to it, and that's wanting separate from an attachment to having.
Right.
Because there's a lot of juice in wanting, but if you only allow yourself to want something you think you can have, you don't get that juice.
Right.
You know, like I can actually taste that hot fudge sundae right now. I want it, but I don't have it. It's okay.
And by the way, when you bring treasure hunting to your sex life, you find there is some really great treasure there that maybe you've been overlooking.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's great. So it means that you're coming to it. I mean, for me, it means that you're coming to your sex life innocent, as an explorer, as somebody who doesn't know it all already, but somebody who wants to explore. And how sweet that is. Yeah, Paul, that is just such a brilliant point about finding that, really, that treasure and the newness and the innocence in your sex life and exploring that. I mean, most couples do the opposite, actually. I mean, couples that I hear about do the opposite. They both shut down. There was a thing, I like to talk about this. There was a thing in Newsweek, it was in the 90s, and it showed two people. One had a laptop in the bed and the other had the clicker for the TV. And they were in the bed, and the article was about DINS, double income, no sex relationship. And really, that's a lot what happens to people. Or, you know, one partner finds out about Tantra and then the other drags the other person along, or maybe doesn't. Or somebody goes and has an affair or whatever. There's all that stuff. And you're talking about a completely different strategy. And you're talking about wanting, and maybe they'll get what they want and maybe they won't. But you're talking about giving permission to at least say and have a conversation about it. And that's very rich. That's like just so rich, both of you.
Well, so, one of the richest things is feeling Carol's wanting of sexual pleasure is one of the most delightful sexual pleasures I have. Feeling that and experiencing her yearning for connection and for pleasure.
Yeah, it's great, Paul. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, tell me about the couples coaching couples. I know some people that we know. I think Bob and Liz Haggett were couples coaching couples, and Austin and Myrtle Gallows were couples coaching couples. I don't know if they still are, but that's how I knew about this organization, Couples Coaching Couples. Am I on target? Is this the same organization?
Absolutely.
You are. And in fact, it was Myrtle and Austin who brought us into it.
They did, along with another dear friend, Norma and Bill Freeborn. Yeah.
Oh, I know them too. Okay. Yeah. So great.
So imagine that instead of, as you were describing, being private and isolated in your couple. Imagine that you had another couple who were prepared every week to have a conversation with you where they listen to what's up with you and they authentically and lovingly mirror back to you what they see.
And ask questions, too.
And ask questions.
And questions that invite you to look from a different point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So we find we get embedded in our point of view like it's the truth. And when our partner points out it's not the truth, it doesn't always go over so well.
Right.
But when the other couple that's committed to our relationship suggests we look from a different place, couples coaching couples, we actually promise to take on that point of view and look. Not like it's going to give us the right answer, but at least it's another place to go.
And that other couple, they are speaking to you as a couple, and they are listening to you, so not to these two individuals, but they're listening for a couple showing up. And the other thing they're listening for is how your vision of who you want to be as a couple is showing up in your life. Because you, at the beginning of the coaching period, have created that and created a statement of that. And that, in couples coaching couples, that's what's happens every week. And it is completely mutual. So you are providing the same generous listening to the other couple that they are providing to you.
Oh, so it's a switch. Like you listen to a couple and then another couple listens to you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you're with that couple for 3 months. And actually being in the coaching role is just as profoundly fulfilling and enlightening and a source of growth for us as being coached.
And you do it for an hour?
No, well, it's sometimes an hour, sometimes it's 40 minutes. It fits into however life deals it to you. But
The other point I want to add is that it's a date that Paul and I have every week to be looking, reflecting, and speaking authentically. How's it going this week?
And yes, I get that.
Yeah. So those are conversations that we don't find ourselves automatically having.
Mm.
And I think most people don't. But most people don't,
no.
Of course, me and my prior relationships.
Well, they get protective. That's what it's the same thing as I was talking about. They get isolated and they get protective and they don't want anyone to know that they're running into a situation or some kind of a problem or whatever. They get like territorial about it. So you were saying something about having a date every week to take a look and to show up as a couple and to coach another couple. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if anyone ever breaks up as a result of your coaching or their, I mean, have you found any untenable situations? The people, they just waited too long and then they got into the couples, coaching couples, and they couldn't make it.
There certainly have been relationships that ended while they were doing couple coaching. That's kind of upsetting.
Well, but sometimes it's a setting for people to get really clear that they aren't committed to being a couple.
Right, that's what I was saying to you before, like in your marriages, like they ended when they ended and then moved on. So sometimes people need to have the permission to get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
But I imagine that you have a greater success rate than of people staying together because they're actually looking at reality here and being coached by others than the isolationists.
Yeah.
And I would say that while you may deal with troublesome issues in your coaching, this is not really designed to be fixing a troubled relationship. This is designed to support you in having a profoundly fulfilling relationship.
And coaching in having you be a team dealing with a troubling issue rather than be two individuals sparring about a troubling issue.
That's really, really great. You know what? We're kind of out of time here. First of all, I want to let people know how to get in touch with you, but I'm also letting you know, should I ever be in a couple again? I actually would like to be in a triple, but should I be in a couple again, I certainly will take this on. I can hear you. I feel in the proper way to hear this, like there's actually support. And it's a non-agenda support. It's not like I have to be in your religion or I have to be in your this or I have to be in that. It's just actually support for making it as a couple, for teaming and being able to work through things together, which I love. So I really applaud you for doing it.
It's fun too, Laurie.
Yeah. Well, you said that you get just as much out of coaching as you do as being the receivers. And you're fun anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Right. It's a reminder to play, though. Sometimes we forget.
Yeah, I love that. That's the key. That's really, really the key. Play, for play's sake. Mm-hmm. Well, how do people get in touch with you about the treasure hunt? How do people find out more about couples coaching couples?
Well, they could send us an email at couples@gotreasurehunting.com. And that would be the best way to find us in the conversation about treasure hunting. The website for Couples Coaching Couples is, surprisingly, couplescoachingcouples.org. There's more information, and actually there are some wonderful audios on that website where you can feel around and get a sense of what that would be like. And right now we have a Facebook page up, which is the Profoundly Fulfilling Relationships Facebook page. We've just started this and we're having conversations about what a profoundly fulfilling relationship might look like and how do you do that. People can join us there too.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, the thing I want to say is, and I actually want to leave the listeners with, is if you've heard anything that intrigued you, that sparked your curiosity, that made you stand to attention in this conversation with Carol and Paul, you should do this at the beginning of a relationship. You should do this, like if you're getting into a new relationship and you're going, uh-oh, I think this is a good idea. It is a good idea now. It's a much better idea now than it will be later when you're in trouble, when there is no treasure to hunt. So I highly recommend this. It sounds like fun, and it sounds like it's possible to have a profound relationship, and that's what I want people to take away from this. So thank you, too, for being my guest today. It's been my pleasure interviewing you.
Oh, thank you, Laurie. This has been a delight.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm giving you a lot of love. You gave hope not only to couples and relationships, but you gave hope to people in their mid-50s and 60s and to all these baby boomers who've switched around a lot or lost a partner or whatever. You gave hope to all of it. It is possible to find love again and again and again and again, and it is possible to spark it and be inspired. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, we're glad to pay that back because you have inspired us
tremendously with your work. Thank you.
In the next half of the show, I'll be talking with Bonnie Gale about body image. How do you feel about your body? So stay tuned. Hey, all, want to have a real adventure this year? I, Laurie Handlers, personally invite you to come with me on a tantric tour of the heart of India from November 19th to December 1st, 2012. You'll see the Taj Mahal and visit the fabulous Fatehpur Sikri, home of the great Mughal king Akbar. You'll experience the sacred lake of Pushkar and visit the pink city of Jaipur. Then at dawn, from a boat on the Ganges in Varanasi, you'll see exquisite Hindu prayer rituals. Then you'll see Sarnath, where the Buddha gave his first speech after attaining enlightenment as well. And then you'll explore the exotic Kama Sutra temples in Khajuraho. You'll have ample opportunity to see these world-renowned temples up close, and you'll even get to meditate inside. Finally, you'll shop till you drop in the Paragonj Bazaar in New Delhi. Throughout the tour, I'll be teaching tantric techniques and principles, and I promise that you will shift your consciousness and come closer to attaining your spiritual goals. For more information about the tantric tour to the heart of India, call me at 202-686-7440. That's 202-686-7440. Or write to me, Laurie, at butterflyworkshops.com. You can find out everything you want to know at butterflyworkshops.com, Tantric Tours. Please note that no previous experience of Tantra or yoga is necessary. I invite you to join me in this unique experience touring the incredible country of India, and I must warn you, this is not your typical tour, and you are not a typical tourist.
Well, we're back with Sex and Happiness, and this part of the show is brought to you by Sex Butter. And today I'm speaking with the creator of Sex Butter, Bonnie Gale. But before I tell you what we're going to be talking about, I want to ask you the question. Are you somebody who, when you stand in front of the mirror, you can't stand what you see? You look at yourself, you feel horrible, and you can say only nasty things to yourself, like you don't really feel good about your body. Maybe you're somebody who can't make love with the lights on, or someone who dives under the covers because they don't want their body to be seen by their lover or their partner, let alone by themselves. Well, if you're someone like this today, Bonnie and I are going to be talking about body image and what kinds of things Bonnie is going to work on about, especially women and women's body image. Bonnie Gale is the body liberator and co-creator of sensual and sexual products. She helps people who have negative body image issues so that they can fully step into all they came here to be. And did I mention Bonnie is the creator of Sex Butter, which is the commercial sponsor for Sex and Happiness radio show. Welcome to the show, Bonnie.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. So I want to talk to you about this body image thing. First of all, can you give us any background as to why especially women have this? Men don't seem to care that much about their body image, but women are constantly stressed. I'm not saying men don't, but they don't seem to be obsessed about it like women are. Maybe they are about their muscles.
Well, men actually do have body image issues. They don't talk about them as much. Like, for instance, balding happens to be one of them, and the love handle happens to be another one. They're not obsessed in the same way we are, and I think that part of the reason for that is the media doesn't focus on every man having to be hot looking. But when we look at images in like magazines and billboards and the things that we want to be and what is praised and what accolades are given to, It's given to like photoshopped images of females that look perfect and beautiful, and there's like not one flaw on their body anywhere.
Right, there's no blemishes, you can't see their wrinkles, double chin,
exactly.
Love handles, anything like that.
Exactly. You have the messages also from the family and the friends and the people like, oh, you're fat, you need to lose some weight. Even kids at young age, 5-year-olds are more afraid of being fat than losing their mother to death.
Wow. That's an interesting little factoid. Well, I did hear last night at a meeting that I was at that by 2030, the obesity levels in the United States are going to be something like 3 in 8 people will be obese and have diabetes, and children's diabetes and obesity is one of the fastest growing trends, at least in the United States. So I understand how kids can be afraid to be fat. I mean, they're getting fatter and fatter.
Absolutely. And not only that, I mean, at any given point in time, 45% of people in the U.S. are on a diet. And when they go on diets, 95% of people that go on diets gain the weight back and then some within a year and a half. So the diet industry, which is a $60 billion industry, is not working.
Hmm. That's some staggering information. You know, really. So what do we do? What are you doing? I know you're doing a bunch of different things. What is Body Liberator? Where did you come up with it? And what are you doing so that people can start to get a grip on their image? And are you only working with women? I guess I have
lots of questions. No, I actually am working with men, too.
Great.
I actually have a male client right now, and I have some female clients. But basically, Body Liberation is really about learning to love yourself from where you're at today. And when people want to make changes, and the most of the people that come to me do want to make changes, mostly in the form of weight loss, I do help them with that, because as long as you learn to love your body will drop the weight that you want, and it will keep it off permanently, but you have to do it in a different way. It can't be a temporary fix. And really, it starts from releasing, because we hold so much negativity in our body that we really need to get out. We've been stuffing ourselves, stuffing the emotions, stuffing the feelings, and really trying to fill up that big hole that never gets filled up. And meanwhile, all of this negativity is sitting in our cellular memory, and all the messages that we tell ourselves, that voice inside our head that tells us all the things that are wrong with us and all the things that we should be and could be if only we lost that whatever amount of weight it is. And all of that stuff needs to go away and be gone forever. And so what I do is I work with people on different kinds of release work techniques. Some of them are written techniques. Some of them are techniques that we use with a product that I have called Yes Better, which is an organic product for healing. And there are messages in that product that actually, if it's applied topically to specific meridian points on the skin in a specific order, it will actually help to release the negativity that is sitting inside our bodies.
Well, that sounds amazing. It's like a topical application, and you combine this application with release technique, like emotional release technique.
Yep.
You're preaching to the choir here. I couldn't agree with you more. I feel that people do need to release these things, and it doesn't matter whether they remember what happened to them or what negative thought form they put in. It's just a question of doing the release techniques and letting something move, letting
right.
the energy move. It doesn't matter whether they have the memory or not. It may come to them later, but they have to release this stuff.
Exactly. And when people don't have a memory of stuff, and that happens a lot of times, so when I have them do writing, a lot of times I have them do non-predominant handwriting. And that releases the things that you are unaware of that are sitting in your subconscious.
Give us an example. You would sit down and you would have a little talk with them, or they would do something physical and then you would have them write. Like, what would you... I mean, I'm imagining all kinds of things.
Okay. So basically, I have a session with people every week and then I give them homework. One of the things for the homework is, especially when they first start out with me, is that they need to journal for 15 minutes every night or every morning, one or the other. I don't care, but they just need to journal for a minimum of 15 minutes.
Okay.
Eventually, when we feel that a lot of the stuff that they're aware of has been journaled out and they feel like they don't have anything left to journal, that's when they start to have them do non-predominant handwriting. And then the body resets, which are the, that's the part with the application and the meridian points and the chakras, that is something that they purchase from me, and it's like a guideline of something that they could do in less than 5 minutes to literally shift their energy. And that does it on an automatic basis. So you basically just have to do what the little paperwork says, and then the product will do the actual physical releasing for you. And the reason that I had to have that done is because when I first started working with people, I found that within two sessions, everybody started getting sick. And I'm talking about sick, emotionally sick, that lasted to the tune of 6 weeks. Two different people that I first tested this on. And it was because we were doing such deep work and they were going so deep so fast. And so I had to come up with something. And so I merged with a healer. Her name is Sundara Delfini, and she's a color and sound healer. And she, together with the Yes Butter, she created the format of what you need to do with the Yes Butter and the sequence in order for it to be effective on the body. It's almost like body talk in a sense of you're doing it, but you're doing it in silence and you're letting the product do the body talk for you.
That's tremendously amazing. That would be probably very helpful in my work. I make people like really go there. I make people go to the bottom of whatever it is that they're feeling, even if they don't know what they're feeling, and then come back out again. It's kind of like an Osho method. Mm-hmm. Go so totally into to whatever it is. He would say, go so totally into fear or go so totally into anger that you come out the other side. And you're saying that maybe one doesn't have to do that. One could just apply.
Yeah, what they would do is they would look. So they would look at specific chakras in an order, and there are pictures of the chakras and their colors. And then, and they do some breathing. They set one mantra, and the mantra is already there for them, so they don't even have to think of the mantra. I mean, they can see it and read it. And then all they do is apply the Yes Butter on the meridian points in the order that we show them and in the places that we show them.
I see. And that should take care of it. That's very cool.
Yep, less than
that
5 minutes.
That is very cool. Amazing. All right, well, we're going to take a little break here. And when we come back, I want you to tell me about all the other stuff that you're up to, because there's a lot, you have a lot of projects going on, and they seem to all be geared in this direction towards having people, women and men. I don't know why I thought it was just women, but maybe that's because I'm part of one of the projects that has to do with women. But
yes, and we will talk about bath talk when we return.
I want to talk about that. So this is Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers. I'm speaking with Bonnie Gale today about body image, and we will be right back, and we'll find out more about the other projects and all the ways that Bonnie is going to work on people's body image and having to be much healthier and, as she said, less obesity, more in line with how people want to look and feel good about how they look. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Laurie talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Laurie's CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Laurie is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Laurie sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn CD by Laurie Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
Are you in pain or unable to sleep? Ever hear about how the body needs glutathione for natural cleansing? Could you use a boost of energy? Try Life Wave Patches. There are a variety of patches to choose from. Each one of them is designed like a small band-aid to help your body with the challenges of life when you're simply not getting what the body needs for support. And you can use these amazing patches on your pets. Go to Life Wave Patches for Pets and People on Facebook and see Suzanne Summers' interview with Dr. David Schmidt about patches that reduce stress and inflammation while increasing energy. You can also find out more at ValerieHandlers.com. That's ValerieHandlers.com. Or call Valerie at 714-928-6399 to order your patches, or consider becoming an independent Life Wave distributor. That's 714-928-6399.
Well, we're back with Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers, and today I'm speaking with Bonnie Gale, who is the creator of Body Liberator, and she also creates sensual and sexual products. And she was telling us on the last segment about Yes Butter, a product that people can apply topically to their meridians and to their chakras, which helps them release negative emotions and stored up, I guess, traumas or anything that would keep people feeling horrendous about their bodies, start to feel good about their bodies. And she's also the creator of Sex Butter, which is the product that I promote here on Sex and Happiness. And now I want to ask Bonnie about some of her other projects. And of course, I'm going to ask you about Sex Butter as well, but in a little later in this segment. First, I want to hear about some of the other stuff that you're doing as part of Body Liberator and anything else, any other names you have for projects.
First thing I'm doing is a campaign called Bath Talk. And I really wanted to have women be open to talking about how they really do feel about themselves and what the pain points are for the body image work. Because, you know, there's so many different things out there and you don't really know, like, what really is going on. And it's very interesting because originally I had 50 women committing to give me videos, and they had a month to create the video, and I got 4 videos. And so this really made me so sad, but it also made me see that this really is a huge problem.
What happened?
I had 50 women committed to giving me a video for a bath talk video where they would film themselves from the neck up only while they were in the bathtub talking about how they felt about their body. And literally at the end of 1 month, I had 4 videos out of 50. And so it made me really sad because it made me understand that this is really a worse situation than I even thought. And what happened is I got so many phone calls and so many emails of people telling me, I can't do this. Like, I can't. It's too hard. It's too painful. And so it made me see that the problem is even more grandiose scope than what I thought it was. And the statistics out there are that 80 to 90% of women hate their bodies. And
yeah.
98% of women hate at least one thing about themselves. So, you know, you have 2% of women that are happy with how they look and feel. So all of the rest of them, in some way, shape, and form, are feeding themselves some type of negative message about themselves. And each time that we feed ourselves a negative message, we literally shut down and close up just a little bit. But when you add all these negative messages, and they say that there's something like 17 negative messages that you'll see in a day compared to one positive message, that's a lot to overcome.
So I'm still baffled by this. You had 50 women say they would do the bathtub project, and they would tape themselves in the bathtub, which is what I did, and I had such a great time doing it. It was totally fun, and I feel like it was helpful for me to even do it. But you're saying that the women that you asked specific women to do this, women who you thought really felt good about themselves.
Well, yeah, I did ask those women. And then I had women that actually volunteered. Like, they came to me and said, I want to do this. And I'm like, great, you know.
And they didn't produce. No, a 4 out of 50 produced.
4 out of 50, yeah.
I'm just trying to read between the lines here, because if someone's listening to this, I want to make sure that they get the
the 1 + 1 = 2 here. So 46 women didn't make videos of 46 women who either volunteered or you asked a special request to make. And so the problem is bigger than you thought, because even women who want to talk about their body image didn't come across.
Exactly.
Like they couldn't do it.
Exactly.
They didn't do what they said they were going to do.
And, you know, of the people that I asked, those 46 people, you know, the portion of them that I asked, they said yes. These were not people that I just asked and they declined. They said yes initially. So I had literally 50 women committed to doing this, and only 4 out of the 50, and I literally had to go out and find, I probably spoke to about 200 women. I am not joking you. And at the end of the day, I'm going to end up having 30 videos.
Wow. I'm getting the scope of what you're talking about, the depth and the scope of what you're talking about. I know that women's body image is bad. And I also know that they compare themselves all the time. So I know that women compare themselves to Hollywood stars and to singing stars and whatever, and that they think that these people are perfect. But it's the same thing with these Hollywood stars and these singers and performers. They also feel not good enough, ugly. I mean, I remember Jennifer Lopez in the beginning when she first made the movie Serena. She thought she wasn't going to be cast in the movie because her butt was too big.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, even gorgeous superstar women have these same issues that you're talking about. All women have them.
I know. I mean, I'll tell you, it's very interesting. Like, I was talking to one of my friends recently who knows, like, you know, a bunch of people in Hollywood, and one in particular who I don't want to name because I don't think it's appropriate, but she literally won for sexiest woman of the year, okay, 1 year. And this woman is somebody that people universally in all countries consider to be like one of the most gorgeous women ever. And she literally thinks she's ugly and fat, and she probably wears a size 2.
Yeah, there's something really wrong with that. There's something wrong with this whole image thing, this whole public opinion and the images that we're given, because that's horrible. It's horrible to go through a whole life feeling like you're nothing and you're no good.
You're right. It's terrible. And the women are harder on themselves than the men are on them. You know, this is not so much stemming from men, honestly, Lori. It's stemming from other women and themselves and the messages that they hear from their mothers who have gone through the same thing. And not only that, when a mother has body image issues and really hates her body and thinks she's fat and thinks she's ugly, and then a child is birthed through her canal, those messages are infused into the child energetically. You know, I mean, that child has been sitting in that mother's womb for 9 months. The messages are everywhere. And so a lot of times we are born with a lot of these messages that are so negative.
Yes.
You know?
Well, there's no question that it comes through the birth canal and that it's genetic. And then depending upon what group you're in, what ethnicity, what religious group, whatever, the messages are better or worse. Some people have permission to be beautiful or to be smart or whatever, but in some groups, women are just supposed to be good cooks or good housewives or good something. They don't even have permission to be fully all who they are, the messages from their culture, from their parents or what have you. I know that's getting better. I remember when I was in high school, there was a girl who was a fabulous athlete, and she probably would have made it to the Olympics as a runner. But in my years of growing up, that wasn't encouraged in girls.
This is changing, though, today. But, you know, even being all you can be, still not encouraged in females. We're still not considered the same. We're still judged differently. When we see men, usually men are not photoshopped in photos that much. You know, they just appear naturally. Why do women have to be photoshopped? Why do half of their bodies have to be photoshopped off? Every single wrinkle, every single line. It's like the skin looks so smooth that it looks like something plastic. It doesn't even look like real skin anymore.
Yeah.
Every single thing that you could ever possibly imagine is changed and altered. And they make mistakes when they do a lot of this altering. And then that's when people really notice what's really going on. You know, I live in Beverly Hills, and so I walk around and see actresses and actors out all the time. Let me tell you something. They look nothing like the pictures that you see when they're in the magazine. Some of them you don't even recognize barely.
Because they look like regular people.
Exactly. And that's what we look like, and that's what should be acceptable. I'm not saying that you have to put a picture up there of yourself that looks terrible, but you know what? Everybody has good pictures that don't have photoshopping. In fact,
that's true.
I do a couple photo shoots a year, and I will not allow any of my photos to be photoshopped at all. Not at all. The only thing that they can do is change like the lighting, like if the lighting's too dark or too light in the whole photo. But other than that, they are not allowed to alter my face or my body in any way, shape, or form.
That's great, Bonnie. Well, that's good. Thanks for taking a stand on that. Well, tell us a little bit about Sex Butter in our last few minutes together. How did you come up with Sex Butter, and what is it, and why is it so great? Because lots and lots of people are talking about Sex Butter. Many of my guests who have been on the show before have actually talked about you and Sex Butter. Yeah, so tell us a little bit about, since you're the creator of Sex Butter.
Well, I'm the co-creator. My partner is the formulator. But basically, I went into a really early perimenopause, and my body closed up and shut down. And so I was looking for something healthy, which was non-existent at the time. And so I came to her and I told her like what my issues were and what I wanted it to do. And not only did she create this product that's so amazing, it's organic, it's amazing for intimacy, it makes orgasm easy and effortless. I mean, it has like literally saved my sex life. And that's the truth.
Because I love that.
I was in danger of completely losing it forever. And this product opened me up. It healed me. Like, I don't have painful sex anymore. Orgasms are just so easy and so fun. And you just feel complete sensation. I think I have a better sex life today than I did in my 20s when my body was in a different type of physical condition than it is today. And I'm 48 years old today.
Your mind is no doubt better today than it was at 20 years old because you know who you are as a person.
Absolutely, absolutely. I was going through a lot of all kinds of junk when I was in my 20s anyways, but Sex Butter, the thing that was the biggest inspiration for me with Sex Butter is I gave it to a woman who was 35 years old who had cancer, and since she had had cancer, she had a total hysterectomy, and everything was painful for her. She couldn't even urinate without pain. And so, like, literally, life was just thoroughly painful. And she was married, and she was unable to have any form of intercourse or penetration since she had the hysterectomy, which was 5 years prior. So at the age of 35, that's really extremely devastating in a marriage. And their marriage was on shaky grounds, which was really due to the lack of intimacy. And basically, she called me up after using it the first day. I told her not to have intercourse for about a week. But after the first day, she called me up crying because she told me that it was the first day that she was able to urinate without pain. And I didn't even know that it would do that, but it just did. And after that, they both called me like 7 days later crying because it was like the first time that they were able to actually have intercourse and really feel that connection again for 5 years it had been.
So this Sex Butter is turning out to be therapeutic for people. I mean, not only is it good for people who aren't having these particular situations, but it's great for people who are having situations as well, like conditions where intercourse might be painful or, as you said, urination might be painful or what have you.
Right.
First of all, we need to let people know how they can find out about you and your project and also how they can get Sex Butter.
They can find out about me at bodyliberator.com.
So let's just spell the whole thing. B-O-D-Y, body, liberator, liberator.com.
Right. So that's to find me. And then Sex Butter they can find at sexbutter.net.
Well, Bonnie, thanks so much for being my guest today. It is really important and timely for us to know there's somebody like you who's working on women's issues and men's issues with body image. It's devastating to know that so many people are so uptight in their bodies. I mean, this is the body. This is our life.
Exactly. And you know what? We only came here with one vessel. So
right.
We need to make the most of it, you know. And it's okay if you want to lose weight or you want to make changes, but I teach people to do these in healthy lifestyle ways as opposed to temporary fixes that don't work.
Thanks, Bonnie. Thanks so much. This is Laurie Handler signing out for Sex and Happiness. Please tune in next time when I will be talking to people about sexual confidence. Okay.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Lori's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to make-